everyone, and welcome to another Cosmic Circus review. My name is Vin, and with me, as always, is John Dotson.
Hello.
Today, we are doing Red Rooms. This is a great, great new movie from Canada. It just released last year in festivals, and it's coming theatrically this year. In fact, it's already streaming in Canada, but it's coming out theatrically in the U.S. In September, I believe. I don't want to give away too much about the story just yet. To be honest, I want you to go in completely blind. I don't want you to know anything going in. I didn't know anything going in, and I had a blast. So I just want to say, very basic story. It's about justice and danger in the internet age, and it's kind of in the style of David Fincher, Mr. Robot. It's written and directed by Pascal Plante, and it stars Juliet Garapi as Kellyanne and Laurie Babin as Clementine. It's a Canadian film. It's in French, but I was absolutely thrilled. It's one of my favorite films of the year. John, what was your reaction to this movie? What did you expect going in, and what did you think about it?
So I have covered Fantasia Fest for like 3 or 4 years, and that's a Canada-based film festival. And you are, like, if you're in the press, they sometimes offer the press to do it remotely. Last year, this was the opener. Or Fantasia. Wow. I did not see it because it was not one of the movies that was offered remote.
John, really quick. What is the significance of being the opening film? What does that mean about it?
It can be hit or miss. I mean, like, it doesn't always mean like it's going to be the best film.
Okay.
Of the festival. I mean, Fantastic Fest opened with Smile is okay. Good, but like I wouldn't say that was the best movie at Fantastic Fest, you know, a couple years ago. But it's just kind of like it gets people like in the mode.
Sure.
It's almost kind of like a thesis for the festival.
Okay, you know? An opening statement.
Yeah, it just gets people in the festival mode. But I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know anything about that director or anything about the movie or anything. And then it was about 8 months later, 9 months later, a friend of mine named Jeremy Thomas, who works at 401 Mania. I'm gonna call you out, Jeremy, who got to see this film and watch it. I think he actually got to put the review out before us. But I think they do it in waves. You know what I'm saying? Okay. They'll do it like in different waves. And I'm not sure, but I know I heard him talk about it. And he said he loved it. Like that he really loved it. So I brought it up to you. And Lizzie, I was like, guys, maybe we should give it a shot to see if there's anything here, because we're looking for obscure titles. And
you know, I love giving anything a shot. Like any weird thing, like I love it. Like anything I've never heard of, let's go for it, you know?
Right. Yeah. So that is my history with that movie.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. And how was the payoff? After you saw it, what'd you think?
Okay. So I liked the film.
Did you love it?
That's where I'm not sure. Because it's not that it's not a bad thing that I say that. It's just this is a very dense movie.
Yeah.
Very dense. And it does not hold your hand at all. It doesn't hold your hand.
I love that about
it. Yeah, no, and I do too. Yeah.
So much of the movie is completely ambiguous. Like, they throw you into this movie with this main character, and for almost the entire movie, you have no idea what her motivations are.
What's going on.
I was so involved and engaged and invested. Oh my god. I was just hooked. I was just loved it. Yeah, go on.
No idea what's going on, and it's very dense. And I think I think I'm going to grow to love it, if that makes sense.
The more I thought about it, I saw this a couple days ago. The more I think about it, the more I just get really excited by it.
But it's a movie that is very meditative, a little slow burn, but there are things that I'm trying to unpack to like make me I'm still thinking about a lot of the details and trying to wrap my head around the whole thing as like a, you know, as a morsel, you know,
but in a good way, still, in a good way, right?
In a very good way. I'm still trying to unpack everything. But my initial reaction, I deeply enjoyed it. There are influences of David Fincher, like I felt a little bit of Seven in here, a little bit.
Okay.
And what I mean by that, it's ever so subtle. In Seven, you never see the murders happen, but you feel it.
But also in Seven, you're always from the detective's point of view, and they're catching up after. So I love that in Seven because they're always a step behind, and that makes it so exciting because you want to see them catch up to him. And at the very end of the movie, you kind of do catch. It's not a spoiler. At the very end, you kind of do catch up to them. And this movie,
I think we gotta be careful. But
in this movie, there are murders. The murders have already happened, so it's not quite the same detective.
I would say it's kind of similar because instead of Somerset and Mills, you have a very unlikely detective. A very unlikely detective. She's not the traditional procedural character. And through most of the film, and again, it's so hard to talk about this film without...
Hold on. When we get to spoilers, I want you to remind me. I want to ask you about her background when we get to spoilers. Not now, but when we get to spoilers.
But what I mean is, it's just very untraditional in how it approaches the investigation side of that kind of character. And, you know, at the same time, there's a little bit of the girl with the dragon tattoo thing going on here too. Like a little bit.
Also Fincher.
Also Fincher. Not as extreme. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like a girl with a bunch of piercings or tats or anything like that. But
oh man, you know, I didn't even think about this comparison. Yeah.
But there's a little bit
That's good. That is good. Yeah.
A little bit of girl with the dragon tattoo going on. And, you know, it is so intriguing all throughout. Very intriguing, meditative, slow burn. Love the cinematography, love the performances. Yeah, I enjoyed it.
One thing that's really interesting, like, you're comparing it to these investigative movies. And here, the investigation isn't, from my opinion, I don't think the investigation is so much who did the murders or how did they happen? It's more of an investigation of the people's reactions to this court case. So there's this court case happening, and again, going as blind as possible. So if you have not seen this movie, I suggest you just turn this off, go watch it, and come back. Even though we're not in spoilers, I want you all to just go in as blind as possible. Anyway, there's a court case happening, and instead of like really investigating the details and the detective and the forensics work, it's more of investigating. You have like these two people, Kellyanne and Clementine, and it's investigating their reaction. Kellyanne is like, yeah, he did it. And she's very matter of fact. And Clementine's like, no, he's innocent. Right. And you have, remember the talk show, there's the game show, and they're all talking about it. It's all this speculation just around the court case. It's about how it affects society, people's responses to the court case. That's the investigation. It's not the investigation of the forensics of did he do it or not. And it's really also an investigation of this Kellyanne character and what are her motivations? Why is she doing this? What is her background? What is her connection to it? It's the investigation about the people around it, not even the event itself. Yeah.
Again, that's why I make a little bit of Seven comparisons because they know they know who's doing it in Seven too. They can't pinpoint, like, you know, they can't find them. But they know that it's just one guy. God, man, it is so hard to talk about this movie. It's so hard to talk about this movie, but like...
Because you really, you just have to go in blind.
Yeah.
Like, I just go in with knowing nothing. Like, I don't know what you knew. Probably nothing also. And just go in and just let it figure itself out.
I think we need to try to be more vague, but like... I do think it's a movie that that rewards the more you stick with it.
Sure, sure.
The more it goes along, the more it reveals itself. I think the second hour is way stronger than the first hour. It was like, okay, there's a point.
The first hour is a lot of like setting it up, you know?
It works. It builds the house.
Yeah, yeah.
It builds the house, and then it's like right after two characters depart that it just like I started going, what is going on here? What's going on? What's happening? Because
who's the second character?
Again, I'm trying to be vague.
But look, if no one's seen, if they haven't seen this movie, then they don't know the characters. If they have seen this movie, then they know what you're talking about anyway.
But there's two main characters that you kind of are with in the first half.
Yeah.
In the first portion.
Yeah.
Somebody makes a revelation, and then that person
leaves. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, when that revelation happens, we go deeper into the main.
Yeah.
Protagonist. And it was at that point that I could feel myself going, okay, what is happening?
In a good way.
In a great way.
Because
it was like, and he didn't talk. There's not a lot of talking in there. There's a lot of just text, a lot of texting. Kind of like, you ever seen the movie Searching?
That's the exact thing I was thinking at first. But I think this movie, I love Searching, by the way. I love Searching.
Yeah.
I think this movie does it some things in a little more clever way. There are whole scenes where you're on her computer screen, or she has the double monitor, which is cool. And like any modern person, she's also listening. So she's you have audio input, and then you have two monitors, and all three are interacting. I love how this movie deals with screens. There's the one scene when Clementine's in the room, and she's watching the TV. Okay, so you see her in profile watching the TV, but then here behind her you see the computer. So you're watching her profile reaction, but then on the computer behind her you can actually see the real screen. I love clever things like that in this movie. It has screens, you're watching screens, but they're interacting in the real world in a more natural way
than Searching was.
I love Searching, but this is like next step, I think.
And I love how it a little bit of a trigger warning for anybody who's watching right now. If you are sensitive to violence to anybody young, I would say trigger warning in that regard. But I do think that the movie has a very clever way of communicating this violence. Like, there's like a scene where they're just like looking, and their face is just red. Mm-hmm. It's just red, and it's just
the power of acting. It's the power of performance and cinematography and framing. You don't need to see the violence to. It doesn't need to be some gore fest, right?
It's very tasteful
about it, because what you imagine is worse than what they can show.
So much worse.
And the sound effects. The sound is good too.
The sound is good. The sound design, like, during those moments are very great. The girl that plays Clementine in one of those sequences,
Lori Babin,
is so good in that scene. So good. And, yeah, man, I mean, I think it's a good film. A very good film.
It's one of my best. It's one of my top of the year.
Yeah, it's a very good film. I'm so glad we asked for it.
Dude, I love this movie. Yeah, and what's funny is it's already streaming in Canada. Already, yeah. But in the US, it hasn't even released theatrically, and almost nobody's even heard of this outside of like a reviewer circle. Like, no, it's so good.
No one's heard about it, and on top of that, like, dude, you know what's funny is I googled it, you know, like before we got on, because I was just trying to do a little bit of research, and it's gonna be playing right next to me.
Oh man, here, that's gonna be good.
Dallas, I was like, oh wow, nice.
It's gonna be good.
Yeah. So if you're watching this, I'm telling you, Google, see if it's nearby, because like I'm in Dallas.
September. It comes out September in the US.
Yeah, I'm in Dallas, and it's gonna be playing in Dallas. So yeah,
go see it. I want. There's a couple notes I want to mention. I really love the music of this movie. The opening scene, the opening intro, hooked me right. I love like opera and theater and ballet. I love music and image together. And this opening, the whole opening is silent, and it introduces you to the character. It's this beautiful blue with red text for the credits, and this music, like Baroque style music. And over the movie, the score is a little bit more kind of Reznor and Ross, again like Fincher, but it also has this nice guitar too, and like these catchy drums. Like it's a really, really good score.
I would say at times it's a little more understated than Reznor and Ross. Like,
sure, maybe.
There's one sequence that I'm thinking about, like specifically, where she's like talking on the computer. Mm-hmm. And then like crossing the street, and there's like this like one note that keeps like playing,
mm-hmm.
ever so gently. It's not like it's very technical in sound, but it's not abrasive.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very subtle. And I was like, man, that's good. you know, it's very good. I will admit, my only, if I had a nitpick, but it's more of a nitpick than it is a critique, but if I had a nitpick, it would be that I felt like the movie was building a pressure.
Okay.
That I don't feel that completely hit for me at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Because I felt this like momentum, like building.
Sure,
and building,
sure, yeah.
And building and building. And it did pop. It did pop. I got a little bit of relief with that pop.
But it still leaves you feeling a little bit unresolved at the end. But yeah. I think in a way where like it leaves you to think about the movie. It's not like, oh, I'm missing something. But it's more like you connect the dots now. And you discuss with your friends to figure out what you think happens next.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what you think the background is, yeah.
And it does explain things, like thankfully. It ended 2 minutes earlier, I probably would have thrown my computer. But
this movie has a lot of long takes. And I don't know if you paid attention, but some of the long takes are like extremely long takes.
The first scene.
There's two lawyers presenting the two sides. The whole thing is one long take.
Yep.
It is insane. And the whole movie has all these long takes, and it really immerses you in the world to the extent sometimes it feels like you're spying on them. It feels like they're just real characters doing their life, and it feels like you're spying on them because it's so long. But also, that fits into the narrative of the movie. There's a kind of like maybe kind of paranoia aspects and kind of like surveillance aspects to it also. Kind of like, who do you trust, right? And so the fact that you feel like you're spying on them, they feel like they're being spied on. It all really fits together so well.
It really does. And it's so, that's what I was saying, the cinematography is just amazing in this film.
Yeah.
I looked up the guy, I don't have his name right here, but
the cinematographer?
Yeah, the cinematographer.
Vincent Byron.
He's been around since 2008. It looks like he's done a lot of shorts and music videos and a couple of TV series.
But is this his first big movie?
No, I think he's done some other movies. I've just never heard of them.
Okay.
But
it really seems like a lot of the people in this movie are like this is going to be their big break, I think. Hopefully. Because this movie is... They deserve... This deserves to be a big break.
And does she look familiar, the main character, to you? Because I kept thinking that all through the film.
She kind of looked familiar, but I've definitely never seen her in anything. But maybe in a sense that, you know, there, some people have like some kind of like beautiful star quality that kind of recurs through generations or through different actors. I don't think I've seen her specifically anywhere.
I did chuckle to myself at one point in the movie. What? And I won't say what happens. But I was like, oh my gosh, she looks like Bryce Dallas Howard.
Okay, I can see that. Especially, I can imagine what part you're talking about.
Yeah, I was like, oh my gosh, it's Bryce Dallas Howard.
Uh-huh.
But spoilers right now, if you have not watched the movie, please make your exit stage left.
Or just pause the video and come back after.
Yeah, and then come back. Come back and, listen to us talk about this movie. It's very good. Go see it in theaters. Go support small films.
Especially good ones. Go support the good ones. Yeah.
Yeah, go support small films.
John, spoilers. My favorite part, I think, of this entire movie, when she's in the courtroom and she's in the outfit and they're taking her away and you hear the music is building. And then the guy looks at her and the music screams and it screams. Oh my God. You know what I'm talking about, right? Freaking out. And it's screaming. It's screaming with the music. Oh my. That is filmmaking. That is masterful.
Now, my question for you, because like it seems like she was not sure whether it was him until that moment.
I interpreted that she was sure the entire time. And I wondered how she was sure. And it never explains fully how she knows. But she has this confidence.
So my assumption is that the first two videos did not show him.
Only the eyes.
Yeah, only the eyes. And I'm guessing, it's my theory, because the movie does not hold your hand, is that she put on that outfit to go in there to see if she could get him to react.
Which she did. And that was my thought. Well, also because at that point, her modeling career is already like thrown away. So she has like nothing left. And so I thought there she was doing that in order to trigger him, which she did. And, you know, he waves at her. And that's when the whole case starts falling apart, right?
Yeah.
Now, my question to you, what do you think her background is? Where do you think she got that outfit? Is she from that school?
That is where I'm unclear.
I think she is. I'm not sure why she cares so much. And I was wondering maybe she's related to the kids or maybe somehow she feels like she needs. Why does she feel the strong sense of justice?
And that's where I kind of go back and forth on whether it's like great or not. Because I don't know her motive.
But you can, like we said, they don't need to show you the violence. You can imagine it. Do they need to tell you the motivation? There could be a thousand reasons for it. Do you need an explicit reason? Batman saves people because his Martha died with the pearls.
And I agree.
Can it just be that she just saves people?
I go back and forth on it. I go from like, I want to know, I don't want to know. I want to know, I don't want to know. I go back and forth on it. And
I think
does it make it more interesting if she's just some person?
I love what they did because it allows you to have this discussion. At the end of the movie pretty much says, go talk about it with your friends.
Yes.
Look, right before she does that, she goes, she buys something online. She goes to her post office, she picks it up. When she decides she wants to do this outfit thing, her package is small. So she did not buy the whole outfit. I think she only bought the braces. So, of course, the wig, she probably has that for modeling.
I did not think about that. No.
So my thought is that she already had the outfit. And when you see her buy that small package, that's telling you she already has everything else. The wig she has from her modeling, the outfit she has because she was a schoolgirl there. My interpretation.
Do you think the last video is somebody she was related to?
Oh, that last girl?
The Lost Girl, yeah.
No, no way. Because when she was dressed up like that, the parents would have recognized her then.
Oh, man. Yeah, right?
Because she went famous after that. Everyone knew her name after that, remember?
Yeah, man. It's like I said, it's just so, man. I guess I got to answer some of our questions. Mm-hmm. You know, and again, I love it for that. It does not hold your hand. It doesn't lock. It doesn't cradle you. You know, I love every sequence when there's no dialogue.
I love silent movies. The 1920s German expressionism, those horror movies, I love those. I don't need dialogue in movies. Just give me music and acting.
There's like typing going on. You know, like you can see the conversations going on a computer.
Uh-huh.
You know, for like that last 40 minutes, I was like, all right, what is she doing? What is the end game? What is going on?
What is she trying to get? But you love not knowing. And you're like, whoa, what's happening?
What's going on? I want to know.
Yeah. You don't even know if she's going to like do good stuff with it. You don't know what she's going to do with that video.
That's where I was at when she watched it, that video. I was like, okay, am I supposed to be on her side right now? Or am I not? Like, what's going on? And then you get that that little payoff. You know, that I told you, like, she goes into the house.
Which is a bit creepy.
I had no idea whose house it was at all. I had no idea. And then, like,
They set it up because earlier in the movie, she's like, watching the parents, and she's, like, taking their information. Do you remember that?
I completely forgot it was the parents' house. I completely forgot it.
But it's weird. She goes into the bedroom, like, she's, like, takes a picture of the bed, or, like, she sits on it or something.
Yeah, and what was that about?
I wonder, maybe she was, like, a tutor or something. Maybe she tutored the little girl. I don't know.
Yeah, it's some just... kind of mentor. It's not explained.
Need to be, in my opinion, but it's just good for... Yeah. Curiosity.
I dig Clementine as a character. I dig her as a character.
Okay.
Do
you think she's a little crazy?
No, but I'm like, well, I think she represents that person that is like, so in America right now, we have a lot of angry people that just want to navigate to the most toxic things.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's not even because they're bad people. Sometimes it's not. Like, I mean, like, flat earthers. Okay. Flat earth. Like, I mean, there's not really anything harmful in believing the earth is flat. Besides that, it's not true. But a lot of those people, I watched a documentary on it, right? A lot of those people found each other because they didn't have any friends.
A sense of community. Okay.
And what made me think about Clementine is like, it's this girl that has nobody.
And
the only way that she could even make herself feel a part of anything is to do that, you know? Like, I believe she believes what she believes, but she also struck me as somebody who didn't really have anyone, you know?
But what's interesting is Kellyanne is also a loner, right? The only person you see her interact with, I think, is her agent, her modeling agent. There's no parents, no friends, no, yeah?
But she also seems more level-headed.
Yeah, but they're both loners. They're both loners. Yeah.
Both loners, both trying to do. They're like two sides of the same coin almost, but like.
Yeah, they're a really good match together, even though they're on such different sides of this case, and they have such different temperaments, such different personalities. Even in every way you can imagine, they're very different people. But it makes it really interesting when they interact together and they gravitate to each other because they're both loners, they both have nobody.
But that's what it kind of reminded me of. You know, because Clementine is so flawed. She's such a flawed character. And I dig flawed characters like that. Like, when it's something that, you know, that's a hard character to play.
Yeah.
Playing a character that is an apologist for a possible child killer is a very difficult role to play.
Do you think her character is a little underwritten? Do you think she has enough depth?
I think if there's any lack in depth, it's made up by the performance.
The performance is very convincing, yeah. I wanted a little bit more about her, but I get, like we've said, like, it's a pretty minimal film. It's dense, but minimal.
You could piece it together.
In a weird way.
I mean, like, I mean, dude, you and I watched an hour and 45 minutes of The Crow last week. and got nothing. Like, you couldn't piece together anything from those performances. I could look at the girl that played Clementine and kind of understand that person. I've seen that person. Mm-hmm. We know that person. Mm-hmm. We deal with those people all the time.
There's a lot in her performance, actually. You can see like a sense of brokenness, but also a sense of optimism.
Yes.
You don't know where she's come from, but you can feel where she's come from.
Yep. That's what's great about it. It's very nuanced.
And I do really like also her last scene where she's on the TV and she's talking about how she's reacting to what's happened.
I will say I didn't like that. I was like, I didn't need that. I was like, I didn't need this.
You don't need it, but I like seeing how she's trying to reconcile with it while also cashing in on her fame, kind of.
Yeah, a little bit. But great performance.
One last detail I want to mention that's really neat. At the opening scene, right, we talked about that. Then you get to the courtroom with the two lawyers. And the two lawyers are basically, they're talking to the jury, but they're also talking to the audience. And they're saying, this is what you're about to see. These are the two sides of the story you're about to see. You're about to see this side, and you're about to see this side. And this lawyer will say this, and this lawyer will say this. It's very meta, talking to the audience as well as talking. I thought that was a brilliant way to open the movie. I really loved everything from beginning to end. I just, one of my favorite movies of the year.
The whole sequence of it, like when it started, I was like, man, are we about to watch
some 5 out of 5 stuff? Yeah.
Like an entire trial. I was like, is this going to be like
Angry Men?
Yeah. I mean,
it does feel like that. Yeah.
I would have been game for it. I would have been game for it. But, yeah, I. Great film.
It is surprising how little is spent in the trial. But like I said, it's more investigating the people and the story around it rather than directly the trial. Because you've already seen 12 Angry Men, right? They don't need to do it again. Do something else.
Yeah, but when have we ever like sat through a trial like in a film? Like One Day in Court. Like make the whole entire movie One Day in Court. That would have been interesting. I think that would have been interesting. I'm not sure if I've ever seen that, but still, solid movie all around. I don't know if we could. I'm scared to unpack it anymore because I want people to go in as fresh as possible,
blind as possible. If you have listened this far and you haven't seen this movie, what are you doing? Go watch the movie. I'm so sorry for spoiling it for you, but please go watch it.
But great film. I love. I might have come around to loving it after this conversation. Good movie.
I really think it's also one of those good movies that like it's rewatchable. Once you watch this again, I feel you'll have a much deeper understanding of all the performances happening in this movie too. Before we talked, I rewatched the opening, and I understood a lot more from that opening scene too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Not the whole thing, but just the silent musical part at the beginning, and just about Kellyanne's character. It actually tells you a lot more than you realize in that opening, I think. Yeah, like it's one of those movies where, like you said, that the longer you stick with it, the more you understand. So when you go back to the beginning, you'll have a whole new layer of understanding. Yeah, which is the sign of a good movie.
And that makes a great movie.
It's a great movie, guys. Go check it out if you get some time. And thanks for watching us. If you like this review, be sure to like, subscribe, leave a comment below. Are you interested in watching Red Rooms? Have you already seen it? Let us know in the comments. We're really excited to talk about this. We are also on YouTube and in audio podcast form. So if you're listening on audio, if you want to watch us on YouTube, go find us on YouTube, The Cosmic Circus on YouTube. And if you're already watching us on YouTube, thanks. Great to see you. If you want to listen to us on a walk, you can find us on your podcast feeds.
Be sure to like and subscribe so we can get 1,000 people on there. We need y'all.
We want 1,000 people every week. So tell your friends, tell your families, tell your dogs, and let's get them going.
Everyone.
I'm Vin. You can find me on Twitter at VinWritesWords.
I am John, and you can find me at JohnMovieWatch on Twitter.
Be sure to follow thecosmiccircus.com on Twitter at MyCosmicCircus, where you can find more reviews, articles, editorials, and opinions like the one you just watched. Thanks. See you guys next time.